Now we're talking about these folks. Moses looks at them and says, hey, don't be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord, and you will see it because he's going to bring it today. And the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. All you have to do is be still. Now last week I started teaching this series, and I talked about that in this passage of Scripture, not only did God's people have fear, but fear had them. There are mountains on each side of them. There is an angry enemy behind them. And there is an uncrossable sea before them. In the natural, there is no way out. No way. No way out. And yet it's in this moment of no way out that I want to introduce to you that when there seems to be no way out, it doesn't necessarily mean that there is no way out. Now, God's people were in a new place and a new time in their life. They had never been here before. And because of that, they had never known God in this way before. It's easy to understand how they got their eyes off of what God would do and get their eyes on what God could do. You and I have that tendency and that temptation every day. Here they are stuck. Their faith seems to be high-centered. There seems to be no way out. And the loudest voice at the party is the enemy. And the enemy is closing in on them. And so for a moment, they get their eyes on what the enemy could do instead of what God said he would do. Now, before we get too hard on them, let's remember they've been living in bondage and slavery for over 400 years in a place called Egypt. They've seen God's incredible power, but they've yet to truly get to know God as an incredible person. They are not just out of Egypt, they are on their way. Most of us sit here this morning and God has saved us from something. God has delivered us from something. And we are on our way. We have come out of an Egypt experience in our life. We are in the midst of our Exodus. And while we have come out, we have not truly come into a place of walking in dominion and authority over every place we set the soles of our feet. We're in between getting out of and getting into. And that's where God's people were. They were on their way to a place called the Promised Land. Now God has spoke to them and he said this is going to be a place of supernatural resource, blessing, dominion, and authority. And do you know that while it was all of that in what he said, that wasn't yet in their doing. And so God was going to take the place in between getting out and getting in. That place in between, that wilderness, that desert, that thing you call and I call a test and a trial. That thing in our life that says to us, the thing we feared the most has now come upon us. God takes that place in our life just like he took that place in their lives, and he said, I am going to teach you how to possess the land. I am going to use this space to teach you how to submit under authority. Again, how many of you are all for submitting to authority as long as you are the authority and everyone else is submitting? Can I have a better amen? Oh yeah, Pastor, I'm all about authority. Absolutely. As long as I'm in charge. I can even do change as long as it's what I want to change. Has any of you ever gotten married? And, you know, it was like for us, this Cinderella thing where we both waltzed to the altar, and we're just, ever since that moment, living happily ever after. That you're like me and Dina, and this week, you almost got into a fight with your mate. You're Cinderella, you're Snow White. And if you had gotten in that fight, that would be your first fight in 20 plus years of marriage. And you're just like me and Dina, raise your hand. I would like to turn our attention to the subject of lying this morning. Now, when the preacher said, the two shall become one, that's when you and your lovely significant other had to decide which one. Now, how many of you can safely say we're still in the decision-making process? God was trying to make them one. He was trying to teach them how to submit to the authority over them so that they could walk in dominion and authority over that which was under them. I want you to think about it for a minute. God tries to teach us how to walk in submission to His authority, because it's to the degree of our ability to submit to Him that it releases to us the ability to walk in authority over the things trying to take authority over us. You're still not breathing, but that's okay. We pass out oxygen at noon and we're almost there. I'm convinced that when God is on our side, we can defeat the Pharaohs in our life. Pharaoh is significant because Pharaoh is that thing that had dominion and authority over God's people for over 430 years. Some historians say that there was 1 million+ people that left Egypt with Moses that one day. Can you imagine pastoring that herd of people who had lived in bondage for over 400 years and saying, now we're going to leave Egypt and we're going to go plant a new church and we're going to go to the promised land. And now you're stuck between there and here, or here and there. Everything that was in them came up out of them. For 430 years, that Pharaoh, that fear, that dominion and authority that the enemy had over them, it influenced them. It affected them. It affected their behaviors. Ever have one that affected you? You were strong in every other area of your life, but there's just this one thing in your life. And it's this one thing that every once in a while, it creeps back into the marriage. It creeps back into your physical body. It creeps back into your mind. And it's a Pharaoh to you. It enslaves you. It ensnares you. It causes that place in your life to be a bondage that affects the rest of your life. See, God's people knew that same feeling that you're trying to relate to right now. See, they had a Pharaoh over them. Scripture says in Exodus chapter 5 that He assigned taskmasters to them. Slave drivers, one version says. Another says He assigned foremen over them. And He was concerned because God's people were in a hard place. And yet they continued to grow and increase and be blessed and walk in the favor of God. And the Pharaoh in their life grew worried about the faith that was growing in God's people's life. Do you realize that sometimes when your Pharaoh rises up and your enemy comes against you and fear begins to come at you from the north, south, east, and west like a flood, that it may not be because of all the things you're doing wrong, that it may be because of what you're doing right, that the enemy looks at you and takes a second look and says, man, after everything I put them through, they've been in a hard place. They've been doing my will and they've been doing my work, and I took the straw out of their bricks and I made it tougher for them, but they just keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. I better keep my eye on them because they're growing and they're maturing and they're about to break the hold and the cycle that I've had authority in and over them with. Do you know that some of you are sitting here today and you've been wanting to do the right thing and you started praying the right thing and it seemed like ever since you started doing that, all you got was the wrong thing? Ever been there? We're going to just be honest with you for a second. Being pastors of this church for 10 years has been hard. I never realized there were so many evil people in this world that called themselves Christians. I never realized all the doubts and the fears that people would speak. It's been hard. Do you know there's been a few times I've looked in the rearview mirror of our life. Dina, let's get out of here. Pharaoh's coming. The enemy's on our heels. Run for the hills. Well, honey, there's just one small problem there. we can't get over those hills. We're hemmed in by those hills. Well, if we can't go backwards and we can't go to either side, let's swim for it. The Red Sea's in front of us. And then she would look at me and say, baby, you call a walk going from the Lazy Boy to the refrigerator and back. And you come back and you're a little winded, sunshine, with that Diet Coke in one hand, and that Baby Ruth in the other. And that is not very far, and it wins you. How much chance do you think we have of swimming through the Red Sea here? We can't even see the other side. You can't imagine the number of times that I have seen fear, and fear has seen me. And it's in that moment when you've got fear that you determine whether or not you will use your faith. Some of us don't need to use a lot of faith when it's the hour of celebration and victory, but when faith is at its greatest is when devastation is at its closest. And sometimes you and I end up in places like me and Dina. We would go to conferences. Ever not be able to move God according to your way by just coming to church, so you went to a few conferences hoping you'd get a word? Or is that just me? I mean, you kept going to church and going to church and going to church, and it just seemed like God wasn't doing anything. Or even worse, people would pray and they would say in their prayers, God is about to move on your behalf. Today is going to be a great day. You're an overcomer. You're a conqueror to the pulling down of strongholds. You are mighty. And you had run out of church only to run smack into your Pharaoh, smack into the enemy. We would go to conferences and people would walk by and I'd just be so desperate. They'd see that look of pity on my face and they would just stop, poor thing, honey, let me just pray over you. And these incredible words would come forward and come forth. I remember a time that a national minister, he was literally leaving for his airplane. He was late. He had white leather pants on, white leather leisure jacket, and a Don Johnson shirt underneath it, and I was just like coveting his outfit. Some of you are like, wow. Sunshine don't get out too much, does he? The desperation in my heart was such that he was about to walk out the back door, and suddenly he felt compelled. He runs across the room. He's just looking frantically. I thought he had lost something or someone. And he did. He was not necessarily, he hadn't lost anything, but he was looking for something. He was looking for me. And he wanted to pray for me. And I looked around to see if anybody else had the name me. Ever do that? The Lord just zero in on you and speak to you. And you were like, who, me? And then he began to pray the most incredible things in my life. And he began to talk about how he saw me on the launching pad. Well, he didn't know I was from the Clear Lake area. And you're about to blast off. And I was like, oh, that's so me. It's Jubilee. And I was so excited because this great man of God had come and prayed for me and he had shared the secrets of my heart. And this is what, about the third year of the church? And we had been praying, oh God, we are desperate and we need help. And God, we wonder, are we going to make it? We're hemmed in. We got the Red Sea in front of us. We've got the mountain ranges beside us. And Lord, I have the enemy behind me. And what am I going to do? And the Lord spoke to me. And I was slain in the spirit, and I laid there and I cried. And what gave me the courage to get up was that things were going to get better today. I promptly, in that day, got up, went out to my car, let Dina drive because I was in no shape to drive. I was spiritually intoxicated, and I knew better. And I remember driving back to this city thinking, it's all going to change now because the worst is behind us. But I forgot about what was also still before us. Have you ever been at a place in your life that you were so heartbroken that it let your fears in? That you were disillusioned? And that you were kind of mad at God like I was? Because I was like, you know, God, you're the one person in my life that can help this brother out, and you won't. And that seems cruel for me. That seems cruel to me. And now, God, I don't just have an enemy behind me and uncrossable things beside me and before me, but I feel like you have shut the door above me and there is no way out. My hope that day was as I drove back, and you probably remember this very well, and we drove back to the ghetto Reno Drive that we lived in, and we went into that, and I just thought, you know, the best is yet to come. It's just all going to change now. And that's where I was. And I had prayed all these things, and I was just expecting God to move in all these ways. And he did. Remember I told you that the worst was behind us? Don't ever say that. Because what I didn't realize was the worst was in front of me. And God knew that I needed something to sustain me. And God knew I would not be still and know him in the hour of my pain and push towards his provision and his purpose for my life if I didn't have a word of direction and a word of hope. I believe there's many of us that are here today, and you can relate to the story I'm telling, because you can relate to the fact that you've tried to get your family back in church, and you've even tried to get your faith back in church. How many of you know there's a difference? You can get your body back in church, but you can't necessarily always get your faith back in church. And you can relate to the fact that you've been trying to do all the right things, and yet it just seems like every time you do, and you really commit to doing God's will, it's like all this pain and all this enemy begins to surface. And this morning from my life, I just want to tell you that many times you and I rush to inaccurate conclusions in that moment. That's what was going on in God's people's lives. They were surrounded by the worst, and the enemy was on all sides. Impossibilities were before them and beside them, and an angry enemy that had enslaved them for 430 years was behind them. And there was no way out, or so there seemed that there was no way out. And man, all this stuff is rushing in, and so they did what many times you and I do when we start feeling betrayed by God. We start looking around at things, and we start looking for someone to blame. They turned their backs on Moses, and they turned their attention toward their fear. You see, in your life, what you grow, what you meditate on, that grows. And what grows in you is what determines what guides you. If you take a hurt and you think on it long enough, guess what now is the Pharaoh in your life? It's maybe not even the person or the place that hurt you. Now it's the hurt that you've decided you're just going to allow to grow. And you're going to meditate on that, and you're going to put it in the spiritual rotisserie of your mind. I want you to think about a great big piece of chicken in your head right now. I love rotisserie chicken. I love it. I have been known to pull in to the Golden Corral just for the rotisserie. Do you like yours with the skin on or the skin off? I don't like it when y'all get me off track like this. But you know what? If you're not careful, you'll take a hurt and you'll put it in your mind. And you'll turn it and you'll turn it and you'll baste it and you'll bake it until it's done. And you'll nurse that thing until it becomes a curse in your thing that messes up your whole life. See, the Israelites were at a place where the Pharaoh coming after them was not as big as the Pharaoh in them. And that many times when you and I pray and ask God to answer prayers, God confirms it by bringing up the thing in us that is so great that it's keeping us from great things and becoming great around us. And see, the enemy likes to just blow your mind and mess you up and tell you that your prayers are not availing much. That, look, you got back in church. You even got your faith back in church. You started committing yourself to the Lord. You started paying tithes. You started bringing offerings. And you did your best. And look now, it's only got worse. And there's no way out. The Word of God teaches us here that it's many times that God uses the enemy to confirm that we're headed in the right direction. God knows that you and I have this rotisserie going in our minds, and it can cause paralysis by analysis. And we'll literally get frozen in our faith to the very place that ensures our defeat. And so God will use the enemy to confirm his timing. How many of you pray different when you're going through a trial than when you're not? You just pray different. How many of you live different in the trial? And you can say, wow, I can relate to the Israelites who started murmuring and complaining and talking about the hard place they're in. Some people, when I listen to them, I think that that's the only place they ever live. And I realize the reason why they sound that way on the outside all the time is because of what they meditate on all the time on the inside. Gosh, it's getting quiet in here. It's because we've turned on all of our lights and turned on the air conditioners to illustrate the rotisserie feeling. And so you're supposed to be feeling like a piece of very warm chicken turning. And today I want to, in conclusion, turn my attention to the fact of the Pharaoh in your life that God is calling you to defeat. Remember, the Pharaoh represents something that has dominion and authority over you. That Pharaoh, that taskmaster, it can be a person who in another season of your life brought about great hurt for your life or great disappointment for your life. That person and what they said and what they did can have an effect not just in that part of your life, but over the rest of your life. That Pharaoh can even be a thought. You can sit here and think this morning, I'm afraid. And if you think on it long enough, you'll move from having fear to a place of fear now having you. Everything you see in life, everything you say in life will be filtered through that Pharaoh of that thought that inspires and sparks fear in you. So a Pharaoh can be a thought that has control over you. Many of you would do more for God if you could just get past that fear. Every time you decide to do something great for God, the first thing that crops up is how inadequate you are. I joke a lot with our congregation about singing in the praise team and wanting that place. And we laugh around here because that's really not my greatest gift is my singing, though it's great. But see, being wired as an engineer, because before the Lord spoke to me, I was on my way to becoming an engineer, a petroleum engineer. And some days when I see the cost of gasoline, I wished I was. But I was not wired to praise the Lord in a demonstrative sort of way, but more in a calculated way, a refined way, a restricted and limited way. And aren't you glad for each of our wirings that sometimes the loudest praise comes from the quietest voice? Because praise and worship is about what comes out of your heart, not necessarily what comes out of your mouth. And what I want you to recognize, though, is that God has asked for both what comes out of my heart and what comes out of my mouth. Being demonstrative and dancing and waving my hands and shouting loud doesn't come naturally to me. But what it does do is it does come supernaturally. Because I know white man can't jump and white man can't dance. I've seen myself. And if I hadn't, my children have seen me for me, and they constantly remind me of the things I do at church. And they're like, Dad, I can't believe you're doing this. What's up with this? And they just, they help me see myself. But see, I had a fear of what people would think of me when I sang out loud. Because I know people judge and criticize harshly. Ever been judged and criticized harshly by people? And so I was so afraid of what people would say about my singing, I stopped singing until one day God said, you know what? I don't hear your voice anymore. What happened to your voice? And I said, well, Lord, you know I just love you. And the Lord's like, hmm? And I was like, Lord, I love you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Can you hear me now? Ever been there with God before? And so I'm sitting there and the Lord begins to talk to me about how it really doesn't matter what people hear as long as He hears. And that's when I began to sing loud and proud. And that's why Pastor Bill and I like to sit next to each other, because we think in our tone deafness that everybody else is off key and that we're the only ones in the church on key. Can I have an high five, Pastor Bill? Yeah. Amen. How many tone deafers in our group in this church? Now, I really want to just lead you to a place where you can take a hold of God's truth and you can go out and this can be a great day for you. I had to learn to get over what the enemy had put over on me. That was a fear I had. And if you would have asked me who they are, I couldn't have told you their names. It was just this group called They. And any time that you go to do something for God, there's going to be a group of the right they that break out and lead you to your faith and future, and then the wrong way and the wrong they who always point out your inadequacies and why you shouldn't do it. And so even though it was 7 years ago and everything on the outside screamed to me and said, you know, you're not going to make it. This church isn't going to make it. Just quit and give up. The best people have left. And now you've just got the litter of the pick left. You know, God can't do things through the litter of the pick. Because, you know, I looked around and it felt like most pastors had the pick of the litter and I got the litter of the pick. I heard the Lord say 7 years ago, I'm on your side. I'm going to fight for you. But you're going to have to be willing to face your fear, the fear of them and they. And I just think in the room this morning, God has already done a pretty incredible work. And I think what he's wanting to say to each of us is that, you know what? I'm on your side and I'll fight for you. But you've got to be willing to stand and be still and face your fear and see that even when there is no way out, if I've told you there's a way, there will be a way. And some of you just needed some courage to know, okay, this is a good sign that the enemy's coming because it's keeping us in the timing of the Lord. The Lord's keeping me moving. I'll miss my blessing if I don't get moving. Oh, you mean even though the enemies come in like a flood that might not be all bad, that God is causing everything in me that I don't have dominion and authority over to surface so that I can take dominion and authority over it? Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that today is a great day. Not just a good day to be great, but a great day to be great. Today is the day that he longs for you to be great, and he's saying, you know what? Around here in this neck of the woods, in this house, this church believes that God can look in our someday and say, Pharaoh, let my people go. And that God will bring us into the day that will be great and from this day do even greater things. So this morning, your Pharaoh might be a memory. Every time you do something, every time you decide you're going to come to church and you're going to get involved again, it might be that memory of how bad you got hurt in the last church. And it jumps up like a memory, and it becomes a matrix, and it superimposes itself, and it makes today look like yesterday. And so you march away from it instead of marching towards it. And God is saying, but today in this place, I want you to be great. See, you serve a pastor that's mighty and courageous. I'll tell you that, right? I'm mighty and courageous, right? You can't imagine how many times God has led us to do missions work in this community in local restaurants. It's been hard. And you can't imagine how many times I've been there and a hostess or a server or a waitress or a manager be mean to me and be ugly to me. And take something from me. It's happened from Perry's to Outback to Luby's to Kelly's to Sonic. Oh, I could use a cherry limeade with lots of ice. It's happened. And yet, because I am mighty and courageous, I just keep going back. And I just keep going back. And I just keep going back. And I just keep going back. I don't worry about what's beside me or what's behind me or what has been. I look for joy towards the things that are before me. And I recognize that the gain is greater than the pain. That there's something on the other side of what I've been through. And it's called greatness. And it's called resource. And it's called blessing. And just because I was hurt here before doesn't mean I'll hurt again. But if I get hurt again and I'm before a Red Sea with mountains beside me and the enemy behind me, all I got to do is be still and the Lord will help a brother out. I want you to stand to your feet and I want you to declare that you are strong and mighty over the Pharaohs in your life, that today, regardless of what your Pharaoh is, whether it's a person, whether it's a thought, whether it's a memory, whether it's a sin, that God has brought you to this season and this day in your life, and He has said in your life, let my person go. Try that on. Let my person go. Now make it personal. Let me go. My healing from my marriage is not on the layaway plan. It's not coming in 3 to 6 months. I'm not going shopping for my marriage for something in 6 months. We don't have 6 more months. We don't have 6 more days. That's why I stumbled into this church today. I thought it was by coincidence, but now I know it's the power of God and the presence of God that brought me to this place, because I was hemmed in and things were on my left and right. Something was behind me. Something was before me. And I needed God to do something in me and for me and through me today. Are you breathing? Man, I really feel this passionate. Have you noticed? Next week I'll give you the less passionate version of me. But I'm telling you that part of the path to strength and might is rising up and looking at the thing you fear the most and saying, let me go. And having the courage to say, not next week, not next month, this is not a layaway plan. I've come spiritually shopping for my marriage, for my family, for my finances, for my sick body and my sick memories. Today. Now. Throw your hands up. Just throw your hands up and begin to pray. I feel a supernatural power of God that is healing people throughout this service. That truth literally has been dispelled and dispensed, and the dispelling has clarified a lie you've been living under that has kept you bound and living in Egypt, even though you were no longer there. But that there is a freedom coming right now to your mind, and it's about to be sound. There is a power coming to your powerless body and situation, and there is a release of divine power, and there is a love that is beginning to be thrown your way, and you are yielding to it, and God is going to begin to heal everything from your top down. There is a healing begin to take place in this room right now. Throw your hands up and begin to pray. Throw your hands up and begin to hunger. Keep praying, church. Now, if you're visiting for the first time, we go into overtime because the enemy has been working overtime against us. And this morning, there is just a release of power that came through worship. And that release of power is releasing you from your personal Egypts. That you have been bound by some pharaohs in your life, but today God addresses and defeats this enemy, and you have the ability to walk out of here today and never see that thing again. Keep praying. There is a release. I am seeing people begin to find a brokenness, and tears are beginning to roll down people's face, and it's announcing that you are going from your mourning and your weeping into your rejoicing and your running, and there is supernatural power in this house and in this place. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Courtney, come here, please. Healing. You're right. You're right. You've already begun to speak to where you are in the situation you're in, and you've begun to already tell your mother, because she has told me that something is happening in your body. Something is changing. That you notice the difference. That while you haven't seen the complete and total healing, you have begun to recognize God as your healer. And this day God announces that He has declared war on the Pharaoh of sickness in your life. Because the Pharaoh of sickness has sought to disrupt God's will and destiny for your days. fear has sought to enslave you and paralyze you to where you are. But God says that this hour that you've entered into in this senior year of your life is a graduation, not just in the natural, but in the spirit. That healing is flowing to you because now it can get through you. And there is going to be healing that's released into your whole family from you. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear hath torment. But he that has been made complete and perfect and whole by God's love fears nothing.